It's our biggest Christmas sale. Now through Wednesday, you'll find all the new items your kids want most at super low prices. Dolls, electronic talking dolls, action figures and vehicles, home computers and video games, board games, bikes, even race and train sets.
So grab your list and your circular and hurry in now for Lino Kitty City's biggest Christmas sale.
The Lino Kitty City turnout frown, upside down.
Tell me more about this Christmas.
Well, it's a wonderful time of the year. Everyone has lots of fun.
You mean they get in fights?
No, they have fun.
Fights are fun. I like fights.
Good evening, America. Welcome to another Christmas-filled edition. Well, actually, it's the first one we've done of the Adventure Club podcast. I am John Jay.
I'm Guy Hutchinson. We did talk about Christmas last year.
Did we?
We talked a little bit
about
it.
I don't remember. It was too long ago.
It was a year ago.
It was too long ago.
All right. Well, very good. Well, it's very exciting.
It was 500 centuries ago.
We can live through it again.
Yes. Let's not relive last Christmas. Let's relive this Christmas.
Fair enough.
That hasn't happened yet, so I don't know how we would relive it. How do you relive something that's never happened before?
I guess you don't.
It sounds like a premise of a Nicolas Cage movie.
Okay. How do you relive something when it hasn't even happened? I'm going to do this again, whatever you say! Just like I did it before, which didn't happen.
You put it in the right file.
I'm sorry. I've watched way too much Nicolas Cage losing his mind on YouTube. It's the best video.
And Mike Staub has joined us.
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. I have my eggnog and my candy cane flavored Oreos, and I'm here to talk about Christmas because it tastes and smells like Christmas in my apartment right now.
For some reason, I've been thinking of the very wise and very talented Mr. David Liebehart from California Cable Access singing I Love Christmas. Look it up on YouTube sometime.
I've been thinking about trying to not pee-pee the bed after drinking too much eggnog.
Oh, throwback from last night.
Yeah. Oh, really? You guys talked about that last night?
Last episode, not last night.
Last Christmas.
Last year, you talked about not peeing pee-pee in the bed on Christmas. I feel that would ruin everyone's Christmas.
Yeah, that would.
Like imagine, like, you know, you're a kid, and it's Christmas Eve, and your parents are like, go to sleep. So you go to sleep, and then you urinate yourself. I feel like that would just ruin everything. Because, like, your parents would be up, like, making your bike or wrapping your NES, and you wake up, and it's like, oh, I wet the bed. And they're like, oh, no. Santa's not real. There goes everything.
Paradox.
You completely ruined Christmas because you'll catch your parents building your bike or, you know, like wrapping up that He-Man toy that you wanted. And then it'll completely ruin the illusion that they've lied to you about for the last 5 years.
Now, when did you ever catch your parents, Mike? Or was there a moment where you were like, wait a minute? Because for me, it was when I started saying, you know, the gift wrap that they use for the gifts for my cousins, it's very similar to what Santa uses.
I have a very sad story about Christmas. Aww. I was probably – my beliefs in Santa went away. I was probably about 3 or 4 years old. And I realized that I always got everything I told my parents I wanted. And the illusion kind of faded away. And there was an afternoon where I was just walking around my house and my mom was there. And this is probably not nearly as sad as I think it might be, but I was just very young when I had this illusion shattered. So all I go to my mom is I'm like, Santa Claus is fake, isn't it? And she goes, yeah. And I'm like, why did you lie to me? And I was like 4 years old. So just let everyone know my beliefs in Santa went away when I was very young.
Aww.
See, I thought you were going with that story in a direction that, that happened with me. I got to an age where I was like, well, I'll figure this out by asking my parents for something and not telling Santa at the mall about it and not putting it in my letter to Santa. And if I get it, then I know that Santa didn't know I wanted the dreadnoks. And when I got those dreadnoks, I knew the wool had been pulled over my eyes for the last time.
See, you know what? That's how you, you know, that's thinking, that's smarter that you're think you thought smart, but you know, you got to hold the faith out for a little bit longer. Cause I feel like you get better gifts as a kid when that happens.
Oh yeah. No, you, oh, it's, you, yeah, there's no downside in believing in Santa. You might as well just do it.
It's just like at that point, you should just go, you know what? I'll believe anything you tell me as long as there are more awesome presents under the tree.
Yeah. See, that was me. Basically, I was a gullible jackass, I think, for a while.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I didn't – I mean, I kind of had an inkling when I was young, like maybe 7 or 8. But I never really realized it until I was like maybe my late tweens, early teens.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh, okay, no Santa. Okay, well, the present's still coming, right? And they're like, yeah, presents are still coming.
See, I remember presents – presents.
Is there more, or you just remember presents?
I'm sorry.
I remember presents.
I remember them too.
Listen, this milk substance I'm drinking is quite delicious and taking my mind off of podcasting.
Gather your thoughts.
What did you say? Isn't it NyQuil brand eggnog?
It's NyQuil eggnog. It comes with 2 shots of NyQuil in it. So, like, you drink like half a glass and you're on Saturn for a week. So. The earliest Christmas I remember was, I believe it had to have been Christmas of like 1991. And it was the best Christmas I've ever experienced as a child because it was the same year I got the Super Nintendo, which for a 5-year-old boy at that time, I was born in 1986. So for a 5-year-old boy at that time, I received the Super Nintendo with Turtles in Time, Super Mario World, and some other crap. And then I also got the Batmobile that same year. And that was the Batmobile that would like – it was the full Batmobile, but the sides would pop off. And
I had that too.
Oh, my God. It would have the – it became the Bat Train.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. It was the best Christmas on earth. And I don't think I've ever been able to relive that Christmas until possibly when I was in fifth grade. So I was about 10. It was 1996, and it was a rough year. It was just a rough year in general. And my parents told me that I was not getting a Nintendo 64.
Oh.
And it broke my heart because that was the one thing I wanted. And lo and behold, we got up at like 2 a.m. to open gifts because we were out of our minds. And the last thing we unwrapped was the Nintendo 64, and it completely changed my life.
Oh, wow.
That's really – I made that seem much more powerful than it was. That was completely useless.
That's a
good surprise,
though. I like that.
I have a similar thing to that. Was the it was 1995, and it was the year the Sega Saturn came out.
Oh, yeah.
And I totally wanted that, and my aunt was like, well, it's...
It'll be replaced very soon by the Dreamcast.
Yes, everyone will buy.
Which will be replaced by nothing.
Yeah, it will be replaced by Sonic Adventure 2 on the GameCube. Boom, boom! Guy, I don't know if you know this, but we did a Sonic the Hedgehog marathon a couple of summers ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We talked about this on the last episode you were on.
See, that's – whatever. You know what? They're going to hear
it again. That was 20 centuries ago in the future.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead. So what do you have to say about it?
John Jay played Sonic Adventure 2 for 6 hours.
Mm-hmm. And had to pee.
He had to pee the whole time. But he didn't pee-pee the bed.
That I didn't pee-pee the bed.
I'm sorry I keep talking about the same things over and over again, Guy. I apologize. You know what? I'll have another couple of Oreos. I'll do you all the favor.
Are they pumpkin Oreos?
No, they're peppermint Oreos. They're like candy cane Oreos, so they're unbelievable. They're like half white and half red. They're delicious. Hmm. So what did you guys get for Christmas? Well, and when you were kids, like what was your best gift?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Yeah, so like what were some memorable gifts you had? Because I got to say, Super Nintendo cost like $200 when it came out. And those games were still about $30 each back then.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of money your parents were paying.
Yep.
Did you have a lot of brothers and sisters?
Me? I was. It's me and my brother. So, right.
So
we shared
it was 50-50. So yeah, okay. But that's still.
See, we learned how to. Oh, it was a lot of money, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we learned, my brother and I learned how to combine and conquer, if you will. Hmm. We wouldn't split video game systems. We would just both ask for them. And then, like, my parents wanted to spend an equal amount of money on both of us. So then we'd both get more games for it.
Right.
It was easy. It was cool. But I know a lot of kids have problems like sharing. But you know what? If you're going to get a Super Nintendo or an Xbox or a PS2 or whatever out of it, you better learn to share real quick.
Yeah.
And it's funny how much I feel like, as stupid as this might sound, I owe a lot of my childhood and just kind of like my interest to the Super Nintendo. You know, like it kind of shaped the things I was into. Like to this day, I still look at that system as something that was like, this thing completely shaped my childhood. Like it got me really serious into video games. It also got me just really serious into kind of quirky, weird, dorky stuff. And I feel like without that system and without that, I wouldn't have any of the things that kind of like make me happy now. Mm-hmm. Something else might have come along, but that was like the gift as a child that I don't think I'm ever going to be able to like.
Do you still have it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I still have it. It still works. I have all my games for it. I hook it up every now and again, even though when you try to hook up one of those old systems to like a new TV, there's like some kind of terrible lag and it looks like garbage. But every now and again, I'll bust out the Super Nintendo and play
and
a couple rounds.
And it's the same one from when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Same
that's
exact
awesome.
One.
Yeah, no, that's
same
nice.
Exact one.
Yeah.
It's all discolored now. And
yeah, it turned yellow?
Yeah, it turned yellow on the bottom. Yeah.
They all do that. Not all. I have one. I found one that hadn't. It took me forever to find one that still looked nice.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Where'd you get it?
I got it at a flea market.
And oh, even
yeah.
You went to the dirt mall, huh?
Oh, I'm there every weekend all summer, baby.
Yeah. I do like a good flea market.
So that's the gift that you remember best?
That might have been, like, for me, one of the best Christmases I could think of.
Well, I can tell you one that I remember, and it's kind of a negative. I wanted the Omnibot 2000, and I looked on the commercials and was like, oh my god, it'll bring me a soda. Never realizing that you had to actually put the soda on it to get it to bring you the soda. But still, the thing would bring me a soda, and so we got the what's that?
I was going to say, is that the same robot from at the beginning of Short Circuit? That it's holding the coffee. It's like coffee service coming through.
Yeah, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. This one was I've seen Short Circuit. I don't remember the scene you're talking about, but this one was about maybe 9-10 inches tall. You had a little tray in front of it. You know, there were lots of robots like this at this time, and you know, I think it retailed probably about $60-$70. And so I wanted this. And so my brothers, we all said, you know, we'd like the Omnibot, you know, cause we all thought it looked so cool in the commercial. And we got it, and it didn't have very much it could do. It was voice command, but you would program it. So you would say like, you know, you'd say forward or backwards, but if you wanted to be cute, you know, you could say, chocolate, and it would go forward. You know, you had to make sure whatever the code word was that's what it was. So, you know, when it would go backwards, we always said moonwalk, which was just kind of funny. but I remember we got it and we opened it up and I was the only one that wasn't disappointed. I remember my brothers were all like, it's not doing what it, you know, does in the commercials. And I was just like, it's a robot. Look at this thing. It's awesome. And then like a week or two after Christmas, it disappeared and my brother got a new skateboard. And
uh-oh.
Yes. And so uh-oh. My older brother somehow convinced my parents that no one would notice. None of us would notice if he turned it in and got a skateboard for it.
Lame.
It is. I think maybe this year I'll make sure he gets me an Omnibot 2000. That's my 2013 gift will be the Omnibot 2000.
So, you know, you can get a battery for that Omnibot for like $10.
Is that true?
Yeah, the battery's on. I'm online right now, and the battery is $10, $10 American. You can actually get a set of. Man, I'm just gonna buy batteries. That's all I'm gonna do for Christmas. Everyone's getting an Omnibot battery.
I'm telling you, I got to get the Omnibot now. I'm really, you know, I'm convinced. When I saw the Muppets, you know, the new Muppets film.
Oh, with the 80s robot?
The robot. Yeah, and I saw it and I was like, oh, my Omnibot. I miss my sweet Omnibot.
That was the gift that never was.
Really, really. And my brother with his skateboard. Where's that skateboard now? Nowhere. But Omnibot would still be next to me right now podcasting.
My question with you to you is, what do you do with that skateboard? Did he like ride it for like 6 months and then like say, this is stupid?
No, my brother liked his skateboard. He probably rode it until he was too big for it.
And then, ugh.
Not that technically you're ever really too big for it, but I think unless you're a professional, there you get to an age where you just look silly.
Did he buy a really special skateboard? Did you look at it with contempt every time you saw it? Like he hung it up and was like, hey, check out my skateboard, dude. And you're like, I hate everything about this.
Yeah.
This board should be broken in front of you.
It's actually
because you ruined Christmas.
He did. It was a Christian Hosoi skateboard. Damn you, Christian Hosoi. Damn you.
Was it one of those like 80s skateboards with like the flat back to it, or was it, yeah, this was it normal?
Well, this was the 80s. So yes, it was an 80s skateboard. But when you say flat back, this was when the skateboards were wider and they did have a tail.
Yes, a tail. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And like instead of the back, you know how like newer skateboards are like almost like an oval shape?
Yeah.
You know how
these were the older ones where they were wider.
I had one like that once. It was an alien skateboard. Had aliens all over it. Some guts.
I have when my son was born, I was decorating his room, and I went to garage sales and flea markets, and I bought every skateboard I could. So he's got like 8 skateboards hanging on the wall in his bedroom.
Wait, so what's the decorations other than skateboards, which is awesome?
Yeah, skateboards are awesome. There's skateboards, which, you know, because I thought he was a boy, you know, and so I thought that'd be, you know, very cool and look really nice. He's also got some Donald Duck prints I found, some like vintage Donald Duck pictures.
That's
awesome. And he's got a slate, like if you took a piece of slate, like, you know, that you would have like a stepping stone made out of or something. I found at a garage sale, somebody had hand painted Snoopy on one of those. And it looked so odd and just weird. So I bought it for, I think, like 50 cents and hung that up in there. And
well, then. You'd be such a cool dad.
We're not even to the cool part. Then I built, I went and got PVC pipe, painted it blue and silver and painted little squares. And there is a wrestling ring along 3 of the walls.
Oh,
turnbuckles.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes. And then like PVC pipe, you know, screwed into the wall that looks like ring ropes.
That's amazing. That's so cool. I wish I had a bedroom like that as a kid. I would probably wrestle everyone. I'd be the world champion right now. I'd be the best in the world.
I also got like those replica titles, put those on the walls, and I got him some fabric because I wanted to get curtains, you know, wrestling themed curtains. So I found WWE fabric, and I wanted like fabric with just like WWE logos on it, but I couldn't find that. So I found some fabric and I sent it to a place and they made curtains out of it. And then I was looking at it the other day and it's Undertaker, Triple H, and John Morrison, which a year ago seemed okay. Now seems really silly. And John Morrison is shirtless, and I'm going to be like, this guy will be so forgotten by the time my son's old enough to, you know, to even cut. What was that? Are you gassy over there?
He's got a little of the diarrhea.
Are you okay?
I have a bad case of diarrhea.
He had the diarrhea today.
Oh, man. So, John Jay, what gifts do you remember?
Oh, it's funny you mentioned the robot and how the robot didn't work out. I remember, and FYI, that robot was in Short Circuit, but not the scene I'm thinking of, apparently.
Very cool.
But I think it was a Christmas present I had gotten when I was younger. I got, not a replica. I wish it was a replica now. I would still keep it. They had like the Power Wheels version of Kit from Knight Rider.
Oh.
And I think what happened was, if memory serves, the voice box or the light in the front wouldn't work. It kept breaking.
Right.
So we sent it back like 5 times and didn't work out.
You know, remember Power Wheels? I had the Power Wheels. You would charge that battery for like 2 days. and you could drive it for like 20 minutes.
See, I don't know what a power – that doesn't ring a bell. I'm thinking big wheels and
Power wheels.
What was power wheels?
Power wheels were the electronic ones. You had the giant battery, like Mike said. You charge it for 2 days and it lasts for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. What was it? Was like,
it was a Jeep.
It was like a plastic Jeep.
Was it like a remote control car or something you sat
in? No, it was – yeah, you sat in it and you drove it.
I remember these, yeah.
Yeah, and they were all plastic. Like, even the wheels were plastic. So, like, you would hear it driving on, like, the sidewalk. It would sound like a cement mixer or something. Like, and, like, everyone thought you weren't cool because your car would last for, like, 20 minutes, and then you wouldn't be able to drive home. So you'd have to, like, you know, push it or have your parents, you know, push it.
Yeah, see, I had, like, a – it must have been, like, a knockoff Power Wheel, or maybe before Power Wheels even existed. And it was, like, an Army Jeep. And the battery, I don't know if we just got rid of it or what. And I just used to drive that thing down the hill.
What, we just roll?
Yeah, we just roll.
So you were like a boxcar racer, but by yourself?
Pretty much.
Did you have any other people in the Jeep? Like, did you have like a guy riding shotgun with like a bazooka?
No, but I should have.
Because that would be my dream.
That would have been badass, though.
My dream would be to be, as a kid, to drive around. And I had this Nerf gun called the Ultimator. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. It actually wasn't made by Nerf. It was made by some other company. And it was definitely a Christmas gift. But it was like a missile launcher.
Oh my God.
And you would pump this thing like 15 times and it would shoot the rocket. And like the top of the rocket was soft, but it would like collapse into like incredibly hard foam. So if you got shot in the face with this thing from like close enough, you would probably, as a kid, take some real good damage. So we would just, you know, I would love to have someone in the second seat with the Ultimator and just, you know, completely light up people.
Oh, God.
Driving around Long Island. Completely ruin some kid's day.
Oh, God.
He'd go home and report me to the principal, and then I would never go to be able to play at recess ever again, which was, like, the worst.
Oh, God.
I've never been to Long Island. If you go to, like, a McDonald's, you guys have McDonald's out there, right?
You know, we actually do, but when you go there, it's called McGuido's, and everything comes with spaghetti and meatballs. It's just the way it is. No, I'm kidding.
But here's my question.
So, I'm like, Italian. I can say these things.
If you go there and you order an iced tea, does it have booze in it, or do they do that?
If that's the case, why haven't I been there yet?
Well, the problem is that they want to put booze in everything. It's just that children can't drink alcohol because that would just be bad.
I see.
So
do you have to like leave the city limits to have iced tea, or else it's a Long Island iced tea?
Well, when you get an iced tea, see, there's a difference between a Long Island iced tea and an iced tea on Long Island.
I see. That's where I'm confused.
See, that's the thing. When you order an iced tea, like a Nest tea, it's not, you know, seven shots of liquor. But when you order a Long Island iced tea, it's a Long Island iced tea that is on Long Island. I don't even know, honestly. I've been in Long Island or on Long Island or whatever you want to say my entire life, and I have no idea why it's called the Long Island iced tea, unless this is where it developed.
But here's the thing. If you ordered one there, would people kind of look at you funny?
Like, I should just go up to the bar and say, I'll have an iced tea.
Yeah, I think you should.
Well, some people like to – because people like to use acronyms so much these days. Some people just call it an LIT.
Right.
Which just upsets me. It's like, say the words. Come on.
Now, I want to get back to the cars. Oh, yeah. Sorry. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Guy, it's not a Long Island iced tea. It's a Long Guyland iced tea. You have to pronounce it correctly.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go, oh, Long Guyland iced tea.
Long Island.
Oh. And always tip your bartender.
We were talking about those Power Wheels. And we didn't have that, but what we had, which was very funny, and I didn't find out the backstory to this until I was older, but my cousins, we had cousins that were quite a bit older than us. So it was like, you know, my mother's sister, you know, was, I don't know, maybe 10 years older than her. So all the kids were 10 years older than us, you know, roughly. So whatever they had, you know, they would be too old for. And so we got one hand-me-down from them that was just so awesome that we kept it forever. And I never knew it was a hand-me-down. I just grew up assuming it was, you know, like my brother's. But we had a Chips motorcycle. And I didn't even know Chips, the TV show, because it was the show was slightly before my time. But I knew this motorcycle. And when I saw there was a TV show, I was like, wow, they made a TV show based on that motorcycle.
Did you want to be Eric Estrada?
Yeah, I did. I mean, we had this motorcycle and we had a helmet for it and everything. It was awesome. But I remember, like, as time would go on, and I don't know whether it was dying or whether we were just getting bigger, but it would work until you got on it. So like if you started it up, you could hold it and make it, and it would just drive, and then you'd get on it and it'd kind of grind to a halt. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether the motor had just stopped, you know, wasn't really generating enough juice, or maybe, you know, we just were too big, you know, it was just for little kids. And eventually the Chips motorcycle ended up on the curb.
Oh, no.
Not Christmas related, but kind of a sidetrack.
Yeah. This was also, you know, not Christmas related, but.
Yeah.
Toys.
You're making me think of when Mattel put out, do you remember Wheeled Warriors?
No. What was that?
Well, Mike wouldn't remember, but God, it was in the.
Was these the ones with the claws that came out of the tires?
No, that's the animal.
Okay, I remember.
I had a toy that the tires were like mouths, and like it was like the monster truck was an actual monster.
Right.
Oh wow,
I love it.
I don't know. I don't know what those are. I'll look those up.
Wheeled Warriors. Basically, there were two factions, and before. They put the cartoon out because there was a cartoon called Jason the Wheeled Warriors by, I think, Saban made it or one of those companies made it. But before anyone knew what the show was going to be about, they made the toy first. Mm-hmm. And it was just bizarre because they had no, like, they had, like, generic people in the seats and, like, because there were, like, two factions. Like, the good guys had, like, the techno, like almost like NASA looking trucks that had like giant wheels, and like one was a crane, one was a drill, one was like a missile launcher.
Oh, wow.
And then the bad guys were supposed to be plants in the show, but for some reason they thought they were called the Mastermind. So I guess Mattel figured, hey, what we'll do is we'll put this squishy little brain in the cockpit.
Oh, no.
And basically the bad guys were like trucks, like monster truck looking, more plant-like. One of them had like a buzzsaw.
So the plants were the bad guys.
Yeah, the plants were the bad guys. The humans were the good guys.
I imagine if you put that on TV today, Greenpeace would blow up like an entire village. I feel like that's just what would happen. It's like, no, plants can't be the villains.
Well, the plot of the story in the show was that Jason's father, like, was trying to come up with something, and he comes up with a mastermind, and it's a plant that, I don't know, becomes evil and starts taking over the universe, basically.
Oh, so he created the plant that will kill all of humanity.
Yeah.
So he's the bad guy, really.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, his own creation turned on him.
Mm.
But I feel like M. Night Shyamalan probably use that that theory and that story to when he wrote The Happening, and I feel like he fooled audiences into seeing it. And the twist was that movie was that you watched it.
What a twist!
Sorry to go on the Shyamalan.
We kind of went off on a tangent.
I'm sorry about
that. Well, that was my fault anyway.
Well, your tangent should have a twist ending.
The twist ending is. You know, I go to Target now, and because there are no toy stores anymore, look back to toys, I guess. There are no toy stores really anymore. Like, Toys R Us is gone. I used to spend, like, my whole week in there.
Oh, really? We have one. We have a toy
store. There's, like, a very, very small handful of Toys R Us's around it.
The one from when I was a kid is still cranking away, though.
Mine also. But the thing I've noticed about Toys R Us as of recent is they're not as impressive as they used to be, like when we were kids. But I see that they're
trying. You're an adult.
They're trying to. Well, duh.
Well, it's funny.
I feel like these toys aren't for me.
But
it's fun.
This store seems smaller than it did when I was tiny.
They do sell toys now that are geared more towards adults.
Well, I guess because a lot of the toy collectors, people who collect like the action figures and stuff like that, aren't the kids. You know, I feel like little kids will play with action figures and stuff like that, but I feel like everything with little kids now is more like digital stuff, whether it's like DSs and all that stuff, where the people who are still going out and collecting action figures are like us.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, though, I remember like – and this is exactly what Guy was going to, like saying, I remember when the store was huge – I remember walking down like the action figure aisle as a kid, even in KB, which was like the mall Toys R Us that have as good of toys.
Mm-hmm. And more expensive.
Oh, it was always more expensive because it was, you know, it was like a boutique toy shop. It was like the size of my bedroom.
But everything ended up in the discount bin eventually, $2 for $5.
Oh, it was the best. I got so many like Wolverines that way. I have like all my Wolverines from a kid were like out of the 2 for $5 bin because they made so many Wolverines. But I remember as a little kid walking down like the aisle in Toys R Us and not being very tall, and just the action figures just went on forever. Mm. And you were never able to overturn like every single one to see who was at the back. Oh, and yeah. I think they regionalized a lot of the toys in those days because I feel like I could never get my hands on a good Iceman as a kid. I could never get my hands on like when Gambit came out. He was like the one everyone wanted and you couldn't find him anywhere either. And I think that – I don't know about you guys. You're both from Jersey, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys experienced any toys that were like impossible to find. But I remember when I was a kid, I had cousins that grew up in like Toms River, Jersey. And they would get toys that we didn't have and we would get toys that they didn't have and we would like cross ship them.
Oh, cool.
Smart. So you got to think ahead.
Jersey back in like the late 80s, early 90s, we had like 5 or 6 different toy stores. We didn't just have Toys R Us and KB. There was Child World. There was Kitty City.
Lionel, Kitty City. Turn that frown upside down.
That's
the one you're talking about, right?
I think so. Yeah,
they had Lionel, a kangaroo in their logo. They had a kangaroo. Oh, and he would hop up and down on a line and make it a smile.
And Child World had the panda.
You know, I remember Kitty City. We had a couple of those. Either that, I think we had some on Long Island.
That was a chain. Yeah, no, I know that was a chain. Recently, I was watching a WCW, it was probably NWA actually, NWA wrestling event, mid-1980s, and they're driving through like, you know, North Carolina. It was Ted DiBiase was one of the guys in the angle. And they're driving around. And they passed by a billboard. It was like, turn right for Lionel Kitty City. And I was like, oh, my God. It's the kangaroo. I remember that logo.
I remember the commercial as well that you were talking about. So I'm guessing we did have those. That might not have been a regionalized store. Yeah. But I feel like the product might have been regionalized.
But here's the thing. Lionel Kitty City, we had that in my area. I only went there once or twice, though, because it was nowhere near. When I say my area as an adult, your area is much bigger. As a child, your area is your little town, wherever your parents normally drive. You know, like as an adult, if you want to go to a place that's 45 minutes away, you might even say that's local.
Right.
But as a kid, unless there was something for mom that was 45 minutes away that you were already heading towards, there was no chance you were going to that toy store. We had a toy store in our town, which was called Windsor Toy and Hobby. And there was 2 old men that ran it. And I don't know how old they were looking back on it, but they were – at the time, they seemed like they were just elderly. They must have been older than my parents, you know, but they were probably 50. And they were brothers, and they hated kids. They hated kids. This was
so
like
they opened up a toy store. Mm-hmm. Smart.
Yeah. This was the big joke with all the adults. You know, I remember my mother always saying, you know, with her friends, oh, you know what we should do? We should, you know, the kids, we were at the pizza place next door. We should have the kids go over and, you know, with their greasy hands and touch everything at the toy store. That'll drive those old men nuts. Because these old men were just nasty. They had a rule that that kids couldn't be in the store unaccompanied, which makes no sense. It's a kid. It's a toy store, for God's sake.
If you hate children,
do not open up a store. You might want to get that checked out there, John.
Yeah, sorry.
If you hate children, why would you ever open up a toy store? That's like saying, you know what? I hate couches, but I'm going to own a furniture store. That's pretty much the same logic. That's stupid.
Well, I remember they had good toys. I got yelled at. You know, they were a very small toy store, but I got yelled at one time by them. And I'll tell you the story. I was in the store and I was looking at – it was a G.I. Joe figure. Actually, it was G.I. Joe vehicle. And
one or a big one?
It was a small one. It was one of the ones that was in a box smaller than a shoebox. And whatever the price was, I had enough money, either it was like maybe it was near my birthday or something, but I believed that I could buy it. And so I said, well, if I'm going to go next door to where my mother's shopping at like the dry cleaners or, you know, getting her hair done or something, but by the time I get there, there might be somebody that comes in and buys this. You know, that was the mentality as a kid, was I can't walk away from this toy to go get my money from my mom because it'll be gone. Somebody will swoop in and grab it. So I took it and moved it to another area of the store and put it behind some model trucks. And I remember the man yelled at me, and then he was like, where are your parents? He's like, he's like, I'm going to call them. And I was like, they're at the store next door, you know. And so I went and got my mom because this man wanted to yell at her. And she went in there and chewed him out, man.
You know what? That's a good mom.
Yeah, that's right.
That is a good mom.
And so we didn't buy the toy, though, which really, for me, I would have rather, you know, just been like, you know, I would have rather my mom been like, yeah, my son's an idiot. Let's, we'll buy that toy because he wants that. Because for me, my feelings went away, but the toy was never there, you know?
Yeah, I remember doing that as a kid. I remember seeing like an action figure or like a toy that I really wanted. I would hide it.
Yeah, you'd hide it because you thought somebody would come and get it.
And and when you saw something rare, when you came across something that you thought was rare, it's like, oh man, I don't know when I'm going to be able to get this Optimus Primal ever again. Yeah. I'm going to hide this behind all the other stupid toys, or I'll put it in the Barbie aisle.
All right, let's get back to Christmas, though. I think we should. I think toys certainly remind me of Christmas, but I think we should talk about what we all are doing. Christmas is right around the corner. What do you guys do at Christmas time? What are the traditions and things that you do?
John, you want to take the? Oh, I'll take it. Yeah, all right. So, well, Christmas for me starts early. It starts like the Christmas season for me. I like to start Christmas, at least the feeling of Christmas, right after Thanksgiving. So my Christmas tree goes up, both in my parents' house and at my place, like right after Thanksgiving. And, you know, I put my ornaments on the tree and do all that stuff. But once the Christmas actually comes around, since I am of the Italian-American descent, Christmas Eve is actually like the big party for us. So
yes, you got the seven fishes.
It's the seven fishes, and we eat too much, and we, you know, we scream at each other. Maybe somebody throws a chair. You know, things, you know, real good American stuff. We eat, we get gifts, we go to sleep. And then we get up on Christmas and we'll eat some more. We'll open more gifts. And it's really, honestly, a really great couple of days back to back. And, you know, I to get a little serious, to me, the whole thing about Christmas is about being around people you want to be with,
right.
About family and friends and all that stuff. And, you know, the way we celebrate Christmas, both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, I get to be surrounded by some really awesome people. So it's really a great time. It's like my favorite couple of days out of the year.
Yeah. No, it's great. Now, I will say, you said early, day after Thanksgiving. My tree goes up right after Halloween. It goes up the first weekend after Halloween. I put up all five of my Christmas trees at that point.
You have five Christmas trees?
Yes. Oh, yes. I love the Christmas season.
That's amazing.
I go all out. What were we going to say?
Well, I get really into – I'm not sure if you guys are into this like I am. And John, have you seen my tree?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, you were here last.
Amazing tree. I was there.
I got really into as a kid. It was like a tradition. When the Hallmark keepsake ornaments really started getting popular in the mid-90s, I remember my grandmother got me – she got me the first Spider-Man ornament they made, and it was like the coolest thing ever. It's still the first ornament that goes up on my parents' tree. But I got really into those ornaments, so it's great because like the Staub family Christmas tree is covered with like Spider-Man and Batman and the Avengers are all there, and I'm just waiting for when they make the Mario or even like the Wreck-It Ralph. I want that for next year.
I have tons of ornaments that have no Christmas significance whatsoever.
Yeah.
I do have a Spider-Man.
Which one do you have?
I have one. It's Spider-Man. He's swinging, and he's just like swinging across. And then I have another one. It's Spider-Man, and he's crouched on a snow-covered roof wearing a Santa hat. But the one, he's just swinging from the tree.
Wait, where did you get the one with the Santa hat?
You know what? I don't remember, but I'll send you a picture. I'm going to write it down.
Oh, please do.
I'll tweet you a picture later.
You have no idea how much I would love to see that.
Yeah, I will. I'll send it over. But yeah, no, I absolutely, I love getting the crazy, wacky, you know, pop culture ornaments.
Did you see this year? Hallmark released a, I got a bunch of Hallmark ornaments this year. but one of them they released the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Oh, that's awesome!
And you can actually hit the button on him, and he actually sings the Ghostbusters theme.
I did see that in the store.
Yeah, and I also got the they call it the Out of Time. It's the DeLorean time machine.
Oh, I gotta go get that. I got a few years ago, they put out a Galaga cabinet, Hallmark did, and I still have the box.
Oh, I remember that.
And I showed it to somebody recently, and they Googled it, and it's, I think it was like 2005, maybe I got it, and it sells on Amazon for like $75, $80, something like that, which is very tempting, you know, because I paid $15, but I love it. What I love about it is it's a Galaga cabinet. And which is great if you want to take it out of the Christmas realm, you could have your G.I. Joes play Galaga. But on the tree, what I like is it has no Christmas significance whatsoever. You push the button, it plays the Galaga song, it lights up, but it doesn't. There's no snow, there's no Santa, there's no Jesus, there's no Frosty, there's nothing.
Well, I try to have a pretty eclectic tree, like what you're talking mm-hmm. about right yeah. now. And I feel that... To me, like a lot of people look at my tree and they go, oh, that's not really Christmassy. You don't really have any Christmas ornaments. But, you know, as a kid, like all of, like the superheroes and stuff, to me, that is Christmas because that's what I would get for Christmas. Right, I would get superheroes.
No, that's why when we start talking about Christmas, we all of a sudden start talking about toys, you know, because that's all we remember. As a kid, that's what Christmas was.
Yeah.
Now, I will ask you this. What is your least Christmassy ornament? And then I'll tell you mine.
Oh, geez. I might have to go over to my tree and take a look at it. My least Christmassy ornament.
Yeah, off the top of your head. I mean, you could throw a couple out.
Well, I do have a Gandalf the Grey. That's pretty un-Christmassy.
Right? Yes.
Just because I feel like he's a magician and that's everything. Oh, he's a wizard. That's everything against Christianity stands for. I also have my brother has a Troy Aikman.
That's awesome. Troy Aikman ornament.
Yeah, from the Dallas Cowboys. And I mean, I feel like that's pretty un-Christmassy.
Right.
Our topper on my tree in my apartment is a Tinkerbell. So
that's pretty cool. I like that. I have on my tree, maybe about 5 to 10 years ago, I had like a bucket full of old toys. And, you know, like Smurfs, all kinds of different stuff. And I said, you know what? If I go get some hooks, I could just make ornaments out of all of these. You know, a hot nail and one of those little screw-in hooks. Any one of these things can hang on a tree. And so I had like a Garbage Pail Kids keychain. That's up on the tree. I mean, there's a lot of things on the tree that had no intention of ever being an ornament otherwise. But one that I have on the tree that I made at that point in time, which I think tops them all, I have a set of dreidels on there.
Yeah.
And I love them. I love them because I'm not Jewish. My wife isn't Jewish. I have a lot of friends that are Jewish, but I don't have any relatives. Oh, no, I do, actually. I have one relative that's married into my family. It's Jewish. But I celebrate Hanukkah as best I can. We've done my nieces and nephews, whenever they get old enough that they start to ask about it, my mother has said, oh, you know what? We'll have a Hanukkah party. Your Uncle Anthony loves that. And so we make the potato latkes. We spin the dreidel. We get the Hanukkah gelt, which is the gold coins, you know, that have the chocolate in them. Mm. And I show them the Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop Hanukkah special.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I think it's great because I think, you know, it's great for kids to, you know, to kind of learn what another tradition is and you know, and hopefully say, hey, and you know, the tree's better. But wow. Still, I think it's wonderful. I think it is wonderful in all seriousness for kids to learn about other traditions. And that's one that I always am excited about. And I've always loved dreidels. I don't know about you guys. As a
I like
kid, they were like so mysterious and awesome. And so
like what those characters were and all that stuff.
Yes,
like, I never seen
like
that writing before.
Space Invaders characters are on the sides of those.
It's funny because I mean, you guys are also close enough to New York as well, so right. It's very similar. I mean, I grew up, you know, with a lot of Jewish kids, and we would always celebrate, you know, Hanukkah in class and stuff like that. So we were pretty much, growing up, we were pretty, even like the kids who didn't celebrate Hanukkah, we pretty much grew up with it and,
yeah,
and learned to respect the holiday and stuff like that. And it's actually a lot of fun. And I love potato pancakes. Oh, my God.
Well,
with applesauce?
They're fantastic. Oh, they're fantastic. Well, the thing with me was my I grew up in a very Jewish neighborhood. There were, you know, most of the kids in my neighborhood were Jewish. But my nieces and nephews, just by virtue of where you live, you don't necessarily, you know, the makeup of your neighborhood's different.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what part where they live, but yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, like my neighborhood that I live in now is very Caucasian. Everybody, you know, that I see Caucasian, and I don't know anybody that's one of my neighbors that I would assume was Jewish. But I do live next to me. There's a house, and then next to the house, there's a driveway, and then there's a temple. So there are Jewish people that live not far from me. It's a very Orthodox temple, so. When there's services, you see everybody walking to it.
That's actually good for your house value. I don't know if you know that.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Apparently, at least according to my Jewish friends, being within walking distance to a temple is a really important thing because, you know, they can't on the Sabbath, they won't
right.
you know, drive a car or something like that. So it's actually really helpful for
I've thought for, about Jewish people letting next to it. They're also, you know, like at different events, well, let me tell this story in a linear fashion. At different times when there's important events where they can drive, there's a lot of people parked in front of my house. And I've thought about standing there and being like, $1, you can park in my driveway. I got plenty of room here. Just pull up. Maybe you can even park on the lawn for $2. I did this year. I found out about another holiday that's a Jewish holiday, which is called Purim. Are you familiar with Purim, either of you?
Yeah,
I've heard of it, yeah, but I'm not – I don't remember.
But you don't know anything that makes you think, wow, that's an awesome holiday? Okay, all right.
I think I know what it is, but Guy, I'm not going to ruin it for
all
you.
Right, go, so let me
go
tell
for
you.
It.
A couple years ago, a friend of mine – I have a really good friend who's probably listening because he listens to the show, my friend Aaron, who's Jewish, and he mentioned Purim to me. And he goes, well, you know, the Jewish holiday where you get drunk. And I was like, wait, back up. He's like, yeah, you know, where you get drunk, you go to the temple and they do a show and you have noisemakers and everybody gets drunk. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait, I will convert right now if this story ends up as good as it sounds. And so he told me about Purim. And Purim is a holiday. And they don't celebrate it today as drunkenly as they used to. But you go to the temple, you do drink. People drink. And I went this past year, me and my wife and my son went to a Purim festival, which I'll get into. But you go to a temple or wherever they have it. The one we went to was at some kind of hall near the temple. And they tell the story. And it's the story of this king who hated Jews. And he didn't like them, and his daughter was married to a Jew, so he wanted to kill the Jew, and then he got so drunk he couldn't tell the bad people from the good people in his mind. So he couldn't tell the Jewish people from his own race, which I don't remember whether he was Egyptian or Roman or whatever he was, but he couldn't tell the difference. And so you're supposed to, in the old days, get as drunk as the king so you can't tell the difference between people you love and people you hate. And that's the moral of it. But today, they kind of frown on people getting that drunk. However, the one I went to, and listen to how awesome this is. It was not the temple near my house, because from what I understand, that temple means business, and they don't mess around. But there's a temple that's 20 minutes up the road from me that I saw a flyer that said Mexican Purim.
Oh,
and I said, yeah. Oh, my God, I got to go to this. So I went there. They had Mexican food. They had margaritas. They had somebody reading the Torah, which very unfortunately they were not. He just kind of buzzed through it. It was like, you know, there was apparently a lot of times what they'll do is they'll read it very slowly and they'll have somebody translate it for any of the young kids that haven't learned all their Hebrew, but they didn't do any of that. They just buzzed through it. Everybody, as I swear to God, the moment he started reading and he did, you know, the, where he starts reading real fast, you know, like that. As soon as he started reading, everybody pulled out their iPad, iPhone, whatever it was, their DS. And I was like, they were all prepared. They knew that this is the time where they then, you know, sit there and read stuff until he finishes. And so I'm sitting there watching him trying to get into the story, but his inflection was all over the place. I couldn't understand it. I really wanted to understand it, but they had a mariachi band there.
That's amazing.
Yes. And they played.
What did the mariachi band play? Like mariachi music?
Music, baby. I loved it.
Man, I'll tell you, the Christians got to get on this.
I know.
Like, the Jewish people, man, they know how to celebrate a holiday. No. Because it's like even like Christians, they're like penance. Mm-hmm. Like it's Lent. It's forever.
Yeah.
It's like 40 days. It's like the Jewish people, they handle all their sins one day. That's it. Right. Done.
All wiped out. But I do like a couple Christian traditions. I like the live nativity. Anytime you go to a place where they have sheep roaming around with some Jesus, you know, some Mary and Joseph impersonator and maybe a live baby or maybe a doll, but you get some sheep like running in front of them. I love that. And I do love when you go to the Mass where they turn the lights on as Jesus is born. You know, where all the lights are out, everybody has candles, which I think is really cool. But I think that all of it would be better with a mariachi band, number one. And number two, and I don't know why every church doesn't get on this. Look, this is the year 2012, concession stand. Change the rules of your religion. I think we all would like it better if you have comfortable chairs, movie theater chairs, and we come in with a bag of popcorn and we sit back and enjoy your sermon. I'd like it a lot better.
Yeah. I think, you know what? I don't think I would be against Mexican Mass.
I got to tell you, there's nothing better than watching Mass in a foreign language. We had at my church for a long time at 3 p.m., they had a Korean Mass. And I liked the concept of 3 p.m. Mass just because I felt, you know, I could get up whenever I wanted. It wasn't at the end of the night like 5 o'clock Mass. So it was just like in the middle of the day in a weird part of the day where you could do everything you wanted in the morning. You could go over to Mass and then you could do stuff in the evening. And I remember one time I was at Korean Mass, and I love Korean Mass. It went like 25 minutes. They breezed through everything. I didn't understand a word of it, so it all seemed exotic and wonderful to me. And at one point, they all lined up, and I was like, wow, communion is really early this week, you know, because we were like 5 minutes into the Mass. So we all line up. Me and a church full of Korean people, I think it was me and my wife and a church full of Korean people, we get to the front. And I've got my hands ready for the communion, and there's no communion. There's a basket that the guy's holding full of notepaper. And I couldn't tell whether people were taking notes out or putting notes in. I didn't know. I had no concept of what I was supposed to do. So I made a weird sign of the cross and just put my hands towards the basket and pulled them away real fast to give the illusion to anyone behind me that I did whatever I was supposed to do. And then I rushed out of the church and didn't come back for 3 o'clock Mass ever again.
Do you think that they would judge you?
I think they all made fun of me afterwards.
Was there, see, I think that would be, isn't that against like the whole, what everything stands for?
Well,
like,
okay. Maybe they didn't make fun of me, but I would never have known. I don't speak Korean.
Well, you should have asked them very nicely.
So, all right. So we talked about your trees and we talked about the seven fishes. Now, my family is what's that?
I love the seven fishes.
Yes. And my family's Italian as well. And I know John Jay is Italian. John Jay, did you ever do the seven fishes?
I don't think so. No,
it's not. Yeah.
They're not that Italian.
We used to do it when I was growing up. We did it. We still do it at my mother's house. And it's really cool. But at my grandmother's house, you would go in and there would be an eel in a bowl in the swimming around in the kitchen. And you could play with it as a kid. You'd get, don't touch it. It's got those scales will scratch you, but you'd watch it. And sometimes you'd touch it and it was all exciting. And then eventually at some point the eel would disappear and we'd be like, oh, I want to see the eel. Oh, they took the eel away. So-and-so took the eel home when he left. And you'd be like, really? I wanted to play with that eel. And actually what had happened was my grandmother had chopped the head off the eel, scaled it, and then cooked it at one point.
Let me tell you, man, so, those older Italian women, man, they're tough.
Oh, my grandmother.
I would not cut the head off any animal. Right? You know what?
Yeah.
You know, it's they got some people to be reckoned with, man. I wouldn't mess with that.
They got it going on.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I like that tradition, though. I like the family tradition and the food and all that stuff. Like, food's a very big part of just every – for me and, like, holidays, it's all about food. at this point in my life. Like, Christmas is less to me now about gifts and stuff. I love gifts. I love getting gifts. I love giving gifts. I actually probably like giving more than getting, because it's like I feel like I'm a hunter, you know. But I feel like food has become the most important part of the holiday, food and family. And it's just like, wait a second, I can eat as much as I want and not really feel bad about it, you know. So it's really cool. I love that about the holiday.
So I think this is great. I have a ton more stories, but you know, we're running low on the time we have. Mike, are you available next week? We can get together and tell some more stories.
Yeah, I should probably be around.
All right. John Jay, why don't you take it home?
All right. It was great Christmassy type episode, and we'll be back with more Christmassy type episodes soon. Good night.
Hey guys, I have a random question.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I duck out for like a second?
That's not a random question. That's pretty specific.
Yes. Do you mind if I duck out for
you
like
can
a
duck
second?
Out for as long as you need.
All right, because I've got my girlfriend calling me, and she would have texted me because she knows I'm on a podcast. Hopefully everything's all right.
Okay, dude. All right. I hope everything's fine.
Yeah.
So John Jay.
Yes.
Let's see. Maybe we should just wait for him and we'll cut this.
I'm back, gentlemen.
Yay.
Everything
I'm
all
sorry
right?
Sorry about that. Yeah, she got completely lost, like out east on Long Island, and all needed right. someone to guide her home. What was the name of that robot?
You know what? I was we waited for you, so we'll
because
we
about
were
that.
Concerned.
Because
if you came
fully.
Back, no. Here's why: because if you came back, you're like, oh my god, we would feel like asses if we were like, hey, remember when we got those really cool figures from He-Man?
But what was the name of that robot?
The Omnibot 2000.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Let's see. So I had told that story, and then you I think I was done, and then you started talking. So why don't we just pick it up from there?